Good evening. It's like a McFarlane day's out, isn't it? Two up here and about half a dozen, well, 12 down there. And anyway, good to see you. I trust you're all well. What I want to do this evening, and probably next week as well, sometimes I think when we come to God's Word, we just read it and then we move on to the other thing. So what I want to do tonight, and probably next week as well, next week I want to take one verse, if I can, and we'll break all that down. And a lot of it will tie up with what I want to say this evening. Over the last couple of weeks, we were down at Keswick and we've been to other places, and we get all the things through where God speaks to us about all of us taking up our crosses and following Him. And how we do that is difficult to tell. And I read something recently where a guy was saying, if you and I have been crucified with Christ, do you feel the nail prints going in? And in the Christian walk and in the Christian life, a lot of it has to do with suffering for the sake and the cause of Christ. And so this evening, I would like to look at Paul. I want to look at four things in Paul's life where God came to him on four different occasions. And He came to him always at night time. So that's where we're going. So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to be jumping about from place to place. And hopefully, I don't have a PowerPoint this evening, for which I apologize, but we'll go through this. But in our first song, we sang, "Our God saves, our God saves. There is hope in your name. Mourning turns to praise. There is hope." And I'm sure all of you have heard quoted time after time, Psalm chapter 30, verse 5, "Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning." And sometimes I have difficulty understanding that whole verse. Because sometimes when you're in mourning, it's not all that bubbly and happy and joyful the following morning. But we know exactly what the psalmist is saying. Can I just tell you, I'm 5'10", 11", 16 stone, and I'm scared of the dark. I don't like the dark. Never have done, even up to now. And I love it when I get home and the light is on and we can get in. So night time, I like the morning when everything's bubbly, and yet I do most of my work at night time. But when we come to look at the life of Paul, and four major decisions in his life, God came and spoke to him at night. One of my favourite verses, and I've got quite a few, but one of the favourite verses I like, and I've probably told you this before, is from Psalm chapter 3, verse 5, where it says, "I laid me down and slept." So wherever you are in life, if you and I know Christ as Saviour, and you're walking in His way and walking in His will, at night time, you should be able to go to sleep. And sometimes when I'm out there pastoring, and people are going through tough times, I always finish up by saying to them, "I hope you have a good night's rest." Because that's just amazing. I laid me down and slept. I mean, can you imagine that King David, or David when before he wrote this, was being chased all over the place by Saul, who was wanting his whole blood and his body and his whole life and everything. And yet, and through it all, David still knew he was in the will of God. So no matter what was happening around about him, he's able to go down to his bed at night and sleep. Psalm 3, verse 5, "I laid me down and slept." And we don't have time, but maybe mention that next week. You recall in Genesis chapter 28 that when that memorable night at Bethel for Jacob, when he was fleeing from his brother Esau, God came to him at nighttime. When everything else was quiet, when his day was finished, God came to him at night time with that fourfold assurance: His presence, His protection, His preservation, and His promise. And maybe we'll go through them some other time. But this evening, if you've got your Bibles, let's go. The first one is Acts chapter 16. I might read verses 6-10 so we get the picture. And if you're taking any notes, write this down, because I just think it's amazing the things you find out there. Because God visited him four times, told him something, and other times he came and saw him. So there's lots of things in this. So it's Acts chapter 16, verse 6-10.
And if you've got your Bibles open, that's great, but I'll try and read this to you. Paul and his companions travelled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. And when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. So here's the first one. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia. Then look what it says. Concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So here is Paul and those of his entourage. A good word that. They speak like that in Ladywell. Paul and his entourage were in Troas. They had been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. They tried to go somewhere else, and God says, uh-uh. And once again, the Spirit did not permit it. So what did they do? The worst thing you can do is go backwards. I hope nobody is going backwards in their Christian life. But they go forwards. The only other door that was open to them, and so they went there. And the vision, God appeared to them, to appear to Paul at night, and we know the story, a man of Macedonia pleads with them to come over and help him and his people. And verse 10, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. What an encouragement that must have been to have received, the first thing, a distinct word of direction from the Lord. Sometimes in life, God will put people in your path and beside you. And sometimes, when we're trying to understand the will of God, one of the first things you should ask yourself is, what does my Christian friends tell me? And sometimes just a word from them can lead and guide, because God can use these people. Here's just a dream, a vision of a man. But God was in that dream, and so he gave this distinct word. And sometimes at such times we feel that we need definite direction from the Lord. And if we listen, he would speak to direct our path, as he did with Paul and so many others over the years. And I'm sure the things you've been involved in and the things of God that's came from a word from him, or God has used someone else for that cause. I suppose in the night while we wait for that whisper, we can be as guilty as the disciples who went with Jesus, and Jesus only asked them to watch and pray, and they couldn't even do that. They slept. I hope all of us speak to God at night before we nod off. Sometimes it's hard if you've had a busy day. And I would hate to be asleep and miss the voice of Jesus when I was looking for direction. Anyway, Paul got his, in regard to his service, he received this direction and he went forward knowing that God has spoken to them. I have an aunt, well, they're dead now, an aunt and uncle. And this uncle of mine was a great man of God, and later on in life he took a terrible illness and he was saying things he shouldn't have been saying, and my aunt always wondered where he would be. He denied things when he lost his mind, and he was saying things she knows she shouldn't be saying. And so my aunt asked God if she would show her in a certain way that everything was okay with my uncle. And she told us the night she prayed that night God gave her a vision. And it was just of my uncle standing there when he was fit and healthy in his best blue suit ever. You can't go wrong with a blue suit, let me tell you. His best blue suit ever. And that is all she needed from God. Just that wee word from her, from him, just to let her know that everything was okay. So, God spoke to him in the night. Let's move on to the second one. It's from Acts chapter 18. And we'll go to verses 5 and 11. Acts chapter 18, verses 5 to 11. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your heads. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshipper of God. Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. Number two, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." So in the first case, when Paul was in Troas, God gave him direction. That's the way to go. And now in the second vision, the second incident when God appeared to him, God now gives Paul support. Imagine getting support from the Lord, just knowing that you're doing his will. And I'm sure we all need that from time to time. You probably know the story. Paul is at Corinth, and there's much opposition. But nevertheless, God continues to work. And again, there is a word from the Lord in the night. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you." What tremendous support that was. What tremendous support he learned in the middle of the night. Fear not, the Lord is with you. And for being involved in the things of God, sometimes we're a bit scared. I need to be very careful how I say this. Is this getting taped? Oh, man. Anyway, I better give it a body swear. I'll tell you another time. I was asked once to go and preach somewhere. I'll try and miss out any names. I was once asked to go and preach somewhere and accepted. And then I was told later on that there would be certain amount of gentlemen out there that belong to a certain order. And I thought, man, this is me out of my comfort zone. And God says, no. And I read that passage that very week. God says, keep on preaching. I got up Sunday morning to go and take the service, and the car wouldn't start. Hallelujah. I thought, I don't need to go. And June says, you'll go and get a bus or a taxi. And I got there. It's probably one of the best services I've ever had. And sometimes God takes us out of our comfort zone and he puts us somewhere else. And if you look at me, I was afeared and trembling going to take a service that I was I wasn't used to doing. And yet God gave me a great and a blessed time there. And I'm hopefully he used the gospel we gave, and many, or hopefully some, at least one, would have given thought to their salvation. Fear not, the Lord is with you. And the Lord knows how and when to give that word, as he did to Paul. And maybe you and I need to learn it in secret. If you and I will say, the Lord is my shepherd, how can I want for anything? Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I will fear no evil. And in that psalm, the valley of the shadow of death is a Hebrew phrase as well that means deep gloom, which includes the dismay of death, but also the periodic times of despair and depression, which we face from time to time. And you and I need to understand that even if and when all around is in turmoil, there is no reason to fear calamity, since God is present to protect. I will fear no evil. We cannot say there is no evil, because there are, but we can say I fear no evil, because I need to know, and I'm sure you know, that you are with me. Thirdly, let's move on to Acts chapter 23. Paul is now before the Sanhedrin. He's in Troas, he's in Corinth, and now we find him in Jerusalem, and he's before the Sanhedrin, and it's from Acts chapter 23. I'll just read verses 10 and 11. You can go and read the whole story when you go home. Paul was preaching, and there was a bit of debate about whether people believed in what he was saying or what he wasn't saying. And then it says in verse 10, there was a great uproar, and some of the teachers of the law who were Pharisees stood up and argued vigorously. And then it says the dispute became so violent that the commander was afraid that Paul would be torn to pieces by them, and he ordered the troops to go down and take Paul away from them by force and bring him into the barracks. And here's number three. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, "Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome." And here is Paul. He's in Jerusalem, probably out of them all, one of the most testing times. He'd only been saved from being torn to pieces by the mob through the intervention of the Roman soldiers. All this hatred and baying for Paul's blood was a result of his devotion to his own people, the Jew. And his desire to bring them the good news of Jesus Christ and his gospel. Now, some people think that Paul should never have went back to Jerusalem in the first place, but that's another story. And here is Paul, tied up in the prison barracks, maybe discouraged, maybe even blaming himself for going back into Jerusalem. We don't know. But out of it all, the Lord knows. And the Lord looks at the heart, and at this time, the Lord comes himself with a word of encouragement. The Lord came himself. Not just a vision, not just somebody speaking a vision, but the Lord came himself. And Paul has been directed by the Lord, he's been supported by the Lord, and now Paul is encouraged by the Lord. And obviously that must have been a fantastic and joyous night because the Lord visited him. It's a tremendous thing to know, isn't it? The Lord came and visited him. Take courage, as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. And all the troubles and trials of the day, time are over. Sad at heart that his testimony is being refused by his own people. And sometimes I think that, do you know Isaiah 53? Who believes us? When you're talking to others about Christ, who believes you? All these years, the prophet Isaiah was out preaching and teaching. Folk didn't want to know. And sometimes I think nothing's changed. And yet we have to keep on doing it. Isaiah was told, nobody's going to turn. But you keep bringing the message. Who is listening to us? You have testified for me, and you have to keep on testifying. But the Lord is there to encourage us and to hold us up and to support us. And that brings us, lastly, let's go to the last reading. Acts chapter 27, verses 21 to 25. Paul's been to see all these people like Felix and Agrippa and all the others, and now they're sending him to Rome. And Paul is now a prisoner. He's now sailing to Rome in the middle of a terrible storm, a storm that's been raging for many days, and all had finally given up hope of being saved. And then we come to chapter 27, verse 21. After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have been spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be lost." There it go, number four. Last night, an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. And here in the midst of a storm, Paul learns that all is safe. Everything is secured. All is assured. There was a storm and the ultimate shipwreck. And as we look around outwardly, we may feel things in our own lives and round about us have gone to pieces. The powers of evil seem to have a strong hold on things, and it is mounting higher and higher, and yet it seems all will be lost. But you and I must learn, as Paul learned again in the night time, that nothing is lost. Last night, an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, "Do not be afraid. God has given you the lives of all who sail with you." Sometimes in life you go through tough times. We go through the storms of life. Remember when Peter walked on the water to see Jesus? That's who Peter saw. And sometimes when we go through storms, all we see is a storm. But all of us in our life should see Christ. And when Peter walked out in that sea to walk on the water, he didn't walk about thinking, "Look at me, guys, I can walk on the water." He wanted to be with Jesus, because that is who he saw. There is a Dutch saying that says, "God doesn't promise us a calm journey, but a safe arrival." And I've said before from this pulpit, the Lord is my shepherd who gets all his sheep home, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And here is Paul, who gave his everything for Christ. And when you read about all the things that he went through for him, number of times he's beaten up in prison and all the rest of it, and we complain sometimes because somebody calls us a bad name. But throughout his whole life, Paul was directed. He was supported. He was encouraged. And he was assured. And may we as Christian people know these things this day, that because we belong to him, he will direct us. He will support us. He will encourage us. And he will assure us. You probably would have noticed that the Troas, the first place in the night, it was just a vision. Second time he met with the Lord said, "By a vision." And at Jerusalem, the third time, there is no vision. It's the Lord himself. And when you come to Rome, one of the translations says, "The Lord stood at my side." Isn't that a great place to be? The Lord stood. He wasn't 20 miles away shouting, "Yeah, go ahead, I'll be with you all the way." But he stood at my side. Let me assure you, there is one who stands beside us, and he's behind us, and who indeed by his Spirit is within us, and will say to all of us, "I will be your sufficiency, for it is my victory and not yours." And perhaps maybe like Paul at times, we might feel marooned and deserted, or we find ourselves in the middle of the storms of life. May the Lord draw alongside us, not at a distance, but beside you, and give you the strength. And with Christ's presence at your side, giving you inward strength, may he fortify you in order that you might keep on going. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, the Authorized, "Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." May the Lord bless you. May he continue to use you as a fellowship. May you be a continued influence and shining in this place here, that you might influence others to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus.